Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
And now, fulfilling the dream of every Boston sports fan, it's Fitzy.
Is it me, or does Edelman's beard make him look like a little homeless?
Alongside New Hampshire native and late-night hotshot Patrick Gilroy.
But it makes sense to me. You know, I'm a 39-year-old chubby guy.
It's Fitzy and Gilroy on Sports Radio WEEI.
Well, let me tell you something about Julian. First off, he calls himself the squirrel. You want to know why he calls himself the squirrel? Because he is a squirrel. He's furry. He's furry. He's cute. He's elusive. He's feisty. And most importantly, whenever he gets a chance, he gets that nut. Just like he gets a first down. Just like he gets the touchdown. Just like he'll give you a catch when you need it.
Yeah. What? WWF. I'm ready to play. Put us in, coach.
Let's go, baby.
You want to come back?
No.
No, you wouldn't have lasted long. All right, thank you for that, Rob.
So, Rob Gronkowski right there. I was wildly entertained by some of the things that Gronk did out there during his Fox debut. I don't know if people were entertained. I don't know if people were frustrated. I think he gave fans the fan service that we sort of expected from Rob Gronkowski, but it is sports radio. WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy alongside Fitzy here, hour number two of the inaugural Gilroy and Fitzy sort of experience here. Room for you guys at 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And we're doing a three-hour show today. There will be a little bit of basketball introduced coming up, I don't know, in the last hour of the program. I got to get to a couple of Celtics things. They've played two games here. I'm eager and anxious to talk about it.
And I have Celtics questions for you because there are things in the preseason as well as going on, some much, shall we say, larger, overarching topics NBA-wise that I would like to get to. And I feel as though you may be the guy to educate the likes of a me and perhaps some others because we're too busy wondering if Gronk's going to come back. Is Tom Brady really angry? Who might they trade for? And will Antonio Brown come back to town? Nice segue to the calls.
You like that, huh? So don't, by the way, don't worry about Gronk coming. He is going to come back.
He's not coming back.
But we'll get into that. Let's get some of these phone calls here. We got people on the line. They don't want to hear us talk to each other anymore. Let's go to Peter. Peter's in Jamaica playing. Peter, you're next up here on WEI.
Super pumped about the Celtics. But the reason I called is I'd like to see him resign Antonio Brown. I think if he apologized, you know, everyone would take him back. But that's not the point. It's a receiver like Antonio Brown. Because Brady's always – he gets the ball away in, like, what, 2 seconds normally?
Mm-hmm.
And I never felt that he was going to get hurt. Now he has to go back, and he's looking for receivers block. Every time he goes back, I'm nervous he's going to get creamed. And I never had that feeling before. And if he does get creamed, then we're screwed. So –
what are you talking about? You don't have the faith necessary in the era of Stidham? Stidham, if you got him? No, I get it, actually. And there was a play the other night, Peter. Thank you for calling. There was a play the other night that I think personifies exactly what he's talking about, Patrick. And this was the Brady strip sack that turned into the other touchdown for the Giants. The Giants scored, by the way. Both were pretty fluky. One was an incredible catch when Jonathan Jones had great coverage on the most dependable or most reliable pass-catching target that Eli 2.0 had out there, Golden Tate. It was that little fingertip bobble, and Jonathan Jones fell down. He scored. And the other one was the strip sack when Brady held the ball for a full 5 seconds, and someone came end-around on Marshall Newhouse, and they paid their full fare, and they were able to get through the subway turnstile, and they got to Brady, and they blindside strip-sacked him. Giants get the ball, push in the end zone, touchdown. That's exactly what I think he's talking about. Now, Edelman usually gets open on those. But if you're an opposing defense, this is why there is an extreme need. Bring back Brown, I doubt it, to trade for somebody else. And, you know, I've got the same list of targets and hopefuls that I'd like to see them get after. Because if someone isn't open in 2.5 seconds and everyone else is like, he's obviously looking for Edelman, there is no Gronk, and they need more than 5 yards, so he may not be looking at James White, you need that other guy to be able to get open within 3 seconds because Isaiah Wynn ain't walking through that door till at least week 10, if he's even healthy enough to come back from that turf toe.
So you've said this, I don't know, three, four times during the first hour of the show, that you don't think that there's any chance that they bring back AB. So let me ask you this. Between AB and Gronk, which one has a higher likelihood of coming back and playing for the Patriots this year?
Antonio Brown.
So you really are 1,000% sold on that Gronk's not coming back?
Not coming
back.
Why? Because he wants to, like, get out there and live his life. He's healthy for the first time in a decade. It doesn't make any sense for him when he is on television, on Fox. Notice he is signed with Fox, by the way. I mean, and he's also getting that sweet money from our friend and yours, Perry Entelman. The CBD oil is working great for him. Look at him. He looks so happy. He's just exactly what he told Amendola to do when he left town. He's happy and he's free. At this point now, he signs with Fox. What's he going to get to do with Fox? Dress nice, travel, talk football, and ultimately segue perfectly into the WWE because Fox has that sweet SmackDown contract. They just paid an arm and a leg for SmackDown on Friday nights. That'll be the perfect gateway for Gronk to establish this wrestling persona because he ain't going Hollywood. You even heard him in that clip after the whole Edelman get you that catch, that nut, and that touchdown thing where they were yelling, WWF, SmackDown in the background, and then a ton of fake laughs like they do on those pretend football shows.
Sure.
That's exactly what they're doing. He is ramping up and he is revving up the hype video or whatever you call those talks you deliver before the big match.
Okay, so on the same night, in the same evening on Thursday night, you have Gronk on Fox saying, look, the door's always open. I'm never going to say never. Yeah, the little innuendos when he was asked about the potential for him coming back. Meanwhile, at the same time on the NFL Network, you have Robert Kraft saying, hey, look, Gronk's never turned in his retirement papers. So between the two of them, there has got to be some belief that he could potentially come back this year. Why wouldn't Robert Kraft, if he believed that Gronk wasn't going to come back, that it was a 0% chance, why wouldn't Robert Kraft have just said, look, we wish him well? Why haven't they had a Gronk night or haven't even scheduled a Gronk night yet in Foxborough to celebrate the career of Rob Gronkowski? Where's the press conference saying goodbye to Rob Gronkowski, a Hall of Fame, future Hall of Fame player that's the best ever to play their position, who, oh, by the way, won multiple Super Bowls with you? They've done none of those things. They've scheduled none of those things because internally, there is somebody that has a belief that he is going to come back and play this year.
As long as he hasn't filed the retirement papers, there's always going to be a chance. And what are we without, you know, opposable thumbs, the internet, and hope, right, Patrick? And there's hope still that maybe they could get him back. I just don't think he's coming back. He was on field when they unveiled banner number 6, and he was holding the Lombardi trophy that he dented on the field in what was the most Gronk thing ever. Here's why he's not coming back. It would seem just beyond ideal. Beyond ideal. Sign him for like $2 million, right? You with the money you save letting poor Benjamin Watson go, right? You bring him back after Thanksgiving. You stretch run him during that reasonably soft schedule that they have in December when they finish up the season with home against Bills and home against whatever the Dolphins even trot out for a football team at that point.
You ease him into the playoffs.
You ease him in. He gets the bye week, and then they're thinking it's three games to glory, right? Maybe that's the only way they could talk him into it. But here's why he's not going to do it. What's the last thing you remember about Rob Gronkowski on a football field?
What? He was a hero in the Super Bowl.
The incredible catch, yeah. Right? On when they ran the same play, the Haas Y Juke, the Haas concept.
No matter how
three
bad
times
the offense
in a row,
was,
right?
When they had to have it, they had Gronk.
Right. When they had to have it in overtime in Kansas City, they looked for the squirrel, got them that nut, and they looked for Big 87, and he got it done. And then when they needed him again in the Super Bowl,
he gets that nut.
Please play that drop as much as you want
it's
the rest
so
of the
good.
Show, Drew. It's so good. So he got that nut. He made that catch. That's the last thing you remember. What was his most significant contribution in that game?
The block.
Yes, blocking.
Yep.
Because he was basically, for his career, Rob Gronkowski was a Matt Light, Nate Solder in his prime level offensive tackle with elite speed and hands. And I don't think he has that anymore. He's had 3 back surgeries. He's tore up all the knees.
But he didn't have elite speed in the Super Bowl or in the AFC Championship game, but he had just enough and he still had the hands. So when they had to have it, they went to him. And he was able to pull out you're telling me that you don't think that he can match the speed that he had last year. All you've done is talk about how good he feels and how healthy he is.
Right.
Right? So if that's the case, isn't that one of the big motivations for an athlete when they take some time away from the game, they've retired, then they start feeling better. They start feeling good. Isn't that the temptation?
They miss the spotlight.
Isn't that when the temptation really comes through, though, because they've convinced themselves that, hey, I feel really good right now. They haven't been tackled in a year. That's why you feel so good. But if he really feels as good as you say he does, and you know, you were on the football field filming a commercial with him not too long ago, and according to you, he said he feels great, right?
Feels fantastic, happiest, healthiest he can remember being in his grown adult or man-child life. And I was like, man, when we were doing that Verizon spot thing, oh, well, hey, 50, time for the career humble brag portion of the show, huh? I was like, man, you know, I'd love to see you come back, but don't, because I'm just happy that you're, like, you did so much for Pats fans. How much more can we ask of this guy?
Oh, plenty more. At least a couple more years.
Patrick.
Here's the thing, though. That commercial that you did, my 8-year-old son, he almost came in here today. He comes in with me, I don't know, once a month or so. He loves to come in here. And he asked,
good, I have a 6-year-old. We can set up daycare down the hall.
We can do that. You know, my son actually made his radio debut a few months ago here. But look, he said, who are you doing radio with? And I said, hold on. And I DVR'd something, and your commercial was part of that DVR. I said, that's the guy. And he said, you're doing radio with Gronk? I said, no, it's the other guy.
It would be a slightly different show, although some people think Gronk and I share a similar intellect. I don't want to see Gronk come back and end up, you know, I don't want the, you know, I love the movie The Wrestler. I don't want him glory. Now, obviously he's not broken on drugs doing trade shows in his 50s where he should have stopped glory hounding a long time ago. I don't want to see him. I want to see him actually be in wrestling, not be the wrestler, because in the choreographed violence of WWE, he'll be able to sustain himself and prevent injuries more likely than not. If he goes out and he's killing it, right? And he's, you know, like we said, he's on the soft 4-game reentry plan, and then he goes for the postseason, maybe for one more duck boat, help out his boy Tommy if they put the Gronk signal in the sky. That would make all the sense in the world. But there could just be that one TJ Ward, one unsuspecting Earl Thomas hammer that could come from the secondary. And guess what? Maybe now Gronk walks with a limp the rest of his life. Maybe he franks up that back, and now all of a sudden it's like, damn it, I should have stayed out of the game because now I'm going to feel this the rest of my life.
That's always a possibility. But on the other hand, he's got the football motivation. He's got the relationships with the current players and Tom Brady and the coach. But isn't there also the other outside element here as well in play? And we talk about Tom having this desire to play till he's 45, 46, whatever that age is, because for every year that he plays and plays at a very high level, it increases the value of the TB12 method. That entire brand becomes more valuable the longer that Tom Brady plays at a very high level. This whole CBD medic thing that Gronk clearly has a big investment in, if he comes back and he plays at a high level, he's able to hold off and stave off those injuries, doesn't the value of that company, the CBD medic, go through the roof in the same way that the TB12 method and that whole brand goes through the roof the longer that Tom plays?
Like, hey, look how broke Gronk was. He had to get that quart of blood drained from his leg. He was in tears at the end of the Super Bowl. But thanks to the magic of my friend and yours, Perry Entelman, he's able to come back. He's in better shape. He's more pliable.
Yes.
And he's healed up and he's healthy and he's ready to Gronk and roll. Sure, I guess you could. We may be also burying the lead a little bit here in that because CBD could possibly test or register as, even though it's only cannabinoids, it's not actually the THC.
There is a small chance.
There is a chance he may not be able to play, or he's going to get one of these obnoxious, like, wait, why the hell is Ben Watson suspended 4 games? Oh, because he took something in the offseason to heal up from an injury? I hate that part of the NFL. And in the next CBA, they have to find a way to work their way through. And maybe Gronk will be a spokesman. He may still be doing great things for the NFL. I just don't think it's going to be on the field for the Patriots.
All right, it is Sports Radio. WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy. It's Fitzy. Let's get out to some of these phone calls at 617-779-7937. Let's go to Brandon. Brandon's in Atlanta. Brandon, you next up here on WEI.
Hey, what's up? I totally agree with Fitzy on Gronk. I mean, I like him off the field, so I would hate to see him be, you know, suffering off the field. I personally don't think AB is coming back because last I checked there, those accusations and those lawsuits and all that haven't gone away. So I don't know where this is even coming from. He can want to play all he wants, but doesn't mean it's going to happen.
So, Brandon, anyway, there's stories out today. I'll let you finish. There's stories out today that he's working with his lawyers, trying to work with the NFL to figure out if there's going to be any sort of discipline from the league. And then he's going to take his comeback to the next level based on what the league tells him. So if the league gives him a clear indication that, hey, look, you're not going to be suspended for any of these offenses this year, then he's going to put his desire to play, I feel like, into a fast-forward type of mode, whether it's with the Patriots or with another team. But I don't think he's going to sign anywhere or even go for any free agent-type visits until he clears things up with the league.
Right, yeah. I just, as a Patriots fan, a sensitive Patriots fan that defend them tooth and nail for everything, the last thing I want to do is have to revisit that situation and have to, you know, fight for AB again.
No, it was a toxic wasteland none of us were prepared for, and I think that was actually, you know, and tell me if you disagree, Brandon or Patrick, but I think that was the shock or the surprise when they signed him that Saturday afternoon. We joked about it all week, like, oh, he's out of Oakland? Yeah, watch, the Pats will step in and sign him because, of course, the only place he could possibly come for career rehab would be the Patriots. 5 hours later, Rosenhaus and Belichick strike that deal, and they almost made it work. So, you know, hat tip to the Pats for that, at least, I guess.
Yep.
Yeah, I personally just never liked the idea. He's great, arguably the best receiver in the league when he's healthy. But it never sat well with me. But my question, which might have been already asked in the first hour, but I just want to know, in light of Jakob going down, do we address the fullback situation? And also, with the deadline coming up, obviously a deal is going to be made. I don't know if I haven't heard anything else other than what he said. I'm under the belief that Michael Bennett is not long for this roster. Could he be moved to get more money, you know, and more ability to get a target like a Diggs or a Green or anybody of that nature? I mean, obviously, these are all opinions because nobody knows but BB. So I just was wondering, what do y'all think about that?
Right on. Thanks for calling, Brandon. I'll speak to the fullback thing. The Patriots, most teams don't employ a fullback, Patrick. Patriots already had arguably the best one in the game. They've been using him for forever because why the hell do the rest of us all have Kevin Turner and Sam Gash and, you know, jerseys in our closets? or our dads still wear those to the game with mustard and cigarette stains on them. So they lose James Devlin, who the team loves both on the field and off,
yep,
to the neck injury. Now people say, like, oh, he's going to be he's IR eligible. Can't he come back? Put that out. That is out of sight, out of mind. He is not coming back because, from what I've heard, the injury is more significant. It's back and neck. Let's again not compromise the man just because we want to satisfy the fan. So put him out of sight, out of mind.
For
this year.
Okay.
And hopefully he's good enough to come back next year because they love him so much and look how important he's been.
Absolutely.
Another one of the key contributors who in certain games help them open the holes for Sony. Like, he dominated the Chargers in ways that, like, I'm sure the Chargers probably wanted to file charges the way that he manhandled them in that playoff game back here in Foxborough in January. Jakob Johnson, the German kid, and points to Brandon, by the way, for pronouncing his name correctly. Jakob Johnson.
He did a good
job. Patriots even put out a tweet that had him pronouncing his name for people just so they could understand. Jakob looked great. Was opening up some holes in preseason, was kind of doing his job, if I may. It's a dollar in the cliche jar, I apologize. And he sustained a shoulder injury on Thursday Night Football, and now he's been put on IR as well. So I think much the same way you've seen the Patriots eschew the tight end position because they don't have a Gronk, they'll probably have to adjust the running game now because they don't have a fullback. And I can't see anyone else stepping in there and saying, like, hey, coach, you know what? I'm happy to play fullback, or let's go trade for X, Y, or Z. I mean, what the hell is the fullback market in the NFL?
It's not much at all. I mean, the Patriots, like you said, they're one of the last teams really to utilize a fullback regularly. Right. So there probably isn't a lot of fullbacks out there saying, chomping at the bit to come here to the Patriots. So it is Sports Radio, WEI. It's Patrick Gilroy. It's Nick Stevens. Room for you guys, 617-779-7937. Let's go to Mike. Mike's in Framingham. Mike, you're next up here on WEI.
How you doing? I called for something else, but something you guys said earlier, it drives me crazy. AB is proof that the Patriots' defense isn't light years harder than everybody else's. He was only here for a few days, and he picked it up. The guys that don't get it are the guys that stink, because you don't see anybody like, what the heck's his name, the receiver we got from the Bengals. They used to talk about Ocho Cinco.
Right.
The guys like that, they were done.
But hold on a second. I'll let you finish. But isn't part of that the fact that AB is still sort of in his prime and he's such a freakish athlete that you can compensate for what you don't know with your athleticism?
No, Malcolm Mitchell was a rookie. He picked it up pretty good. It's not like kids, even high school kids and middle school kids learn option routes.
Yeah, right.
The Patriots' offense is not light years ahead of everybody's offense.
No. Well, they are in certain respects, Mike. And it took
In what respects?
Because most of these other teams don't have a Tom Brady. I can't believe you're so fired up about this, but I like
exactly.
it, Mike. That's okay. A lot of the Patriots' offense is based around the idea that you need to be on the same page with Tom Brady and be able to read his checks and his ticks,
like,
and you have to be able to read,
just
yes.
Like Drew Brees, just so, like everybody else.
Yes, but
they
also
have to be on the same page with every quarterback.
It's not that everyone else is speaking English and the Patriots offense is in Aramaic or something like that. it's just a bit more difficult because you've got to same page it with Brady.
Everyone would run it then if it was slight years. Then how come these Patriots coaches that leave, it doesn't work there? You need Tom Brady. That's it. You answered your question.
Yes.
You answered it. Tom Brady.
I understand that the majority of it is Tom Brady, and Malcolm Mitchell did pick it up in the middle of his rookie season, and it's a shame we never got to see more out of him because that damn knee didn't work out for him. He says that the Patriots offense isn't that complicated. I guarantee you, if you looked at a lot of other playbooks and the Patriots, there would be a lot of similarities, and there are a lot of similar root trees and a lot of option routes and a lot of the things that work 80% of the time or 60% of the time, just like Sex Panther. But it's all about being able to read Brady, and that's what's difficult. And maybe some of these guys just come in here and they're like, whoa, hold on a second. I got to learn a new playbook, which is similar to mine, but has different verbiage, and I got to be able to be an empath with Brady. I'll pass.
So
that's good.
Does that play into potentially who they would go out there and target when they're looking at potential guys that they'll bring in here before the trade deadline? Fitzy, when you're targeting potential guys that'll come in and fulfill that role that is so desperately needed right now, whether it's through free agency with a guy like Dez or whether it's a trade with like an Emmanuel Sanders, whoever that guy is,
yeah.
Do they have to consider his football intelligence as well? Or is it more like with this caller saying, if the guy's in his prime and he's able to go out there and still play at a very high level athletically, can that sort of be the difference and help you overcome what you don't know about the Patriots offense?
Well, look, no one's ever going to accuse Gronk of retiring football so he can go, you know, enroll at BU and take 19th century French poetry.
No, but he's got a football mind.
Guy has a high football IQ.
Right.
The same way that Antonio Brown supposedly does too. Like, he's able to pick up and run these routes. And we can't tell if he was same page as Brady because it was only 11 days, the Antonio Brown era, all 11 days. But yes, he was able to run certain similar things that they could get, some basic concepts. And Antonio Brown did also play against a JV defense as well in week two. So
of course
it would have been interesting to see Antonio Brown trying to, 2 months into it, catch passes in a game where they're going to need an elite pass catching talent, like on November 17th when they play the Eagles.
See, there's the thing. There's nobody that's out there. You just said an elite pass catching talent. There's nobody out there. You can go up and down your list of potential trade targets, but there's nobody out there, whether it's through trade or through free agency, there's nobody that's got the skill level of a guy like AB. And the fact is, it looks like they're going to be paying him. And that's why I keep coming back to, this team is in salary cap jail. They've got a huge deficit, a huge need. And the guy that we saw play against the Dolphins, well, he could potentially help you. And it appears, if you read into Tom Brady's social media likes, it appears that Tom wants him here. And ultimately, I feel like
he likes everything he posts, and usually within an hour. I mean, we track it on the morning show, for God's sake.
You have to track
it. Unbelievable.
But that's the thing. I really believe that he's going to find his way back here. The league has got nothing right now when it comes to their ability to really discipline the guy. Did he make some questionable decisions? Absolutely. But there's no real hard evidence right now where you can take him off the football field. At least I don't think there is. Unless something else comes to light or there's some more definitive proof or one of these cases actually goes to court and there's something that happens in the legal system, I know the league can do whatever they want. We learned that the hard way through Tom Brady's experience, let's say, with the commissioner a few years ago. But ultimately here, if they were going to do something to AB, I feel like they would have already done it at this stage in the game. And I'm talking about the league.
Right. And they've taken the federal suit, and now the civil suit is now just going to be filed in the state of Florida. It's been filed in the state of Florida. And nothing's. I mean, they're awful allegations. I really think it had more to do with the fact that Belichick signs him. The team signs off. Brady wants the talent, isn't worried about the person, then decides that he really wants to get into the soul of things behind there. And then once those stupid group text messages came out, Kraft thought, I can't afford another PR disaster on my hands, and had to basically make the preemptive move. Now, when you say you think that this would make sense because you've already got to pay the guy, so may as well just bring him back through the door. Is this a matter of A, Patrick Gilroy, talk show host and Patriots fan, thinks they should bring him back in because they're paying him and he would be good for the team, or B, Patrick Gilroy, talk show host and Pats fan, wants him back on the team?
I don't want him back on the team, but I think it makes the most sense. And this is a team that is very tactical
in their
decision-making. It makes the most sense for him to come back. It's interesting, though. I do want to get into something on the other side. One of the callers that called in that segment called himself, he identified as a sensitive Patriots fan. And I understand, I understand what he means because, again, as a Patriots fan that travels for my real job, I mean, people have got plenty to poke fun at when it comes to the Patriots and sort of the drama that has surrounded this team over the last 15, 20 years. All the different scandals that have been surrounding the Patriots, whether you believe in them or not, the fact is they are there, and perception sometimes is more powerful than reality. So does that play into the Patriots' decision-making when it comes to potentially deciding on Antonio Brown 2.0 here in New England? The fact that we are a little bit sensitive, and do the Patriots as an organization need to be sensitive as well? So it is Sports Radio, WEI, room for you guys. When we come back, it's 617-779-7937.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
More of what you want to hear, Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
Do everything to get back, you know. And if I could ever get back in the game, I gotta time out. I'm gonna get back to work. Hope you guys having a beautiful day. And you guys follow the Patriots, tell them call me. They still gotta pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
That's the guy right there. He's the picture of normalcy. Just hanging out, waiting for that phone call. Every time I hear that cut, I second guess my belief that they should call him and they should bring him back in here. But it's one of those things where the Patriots have got a need and there's a potential fix for that need that's right there in front of them, already sort of affecting their cap, already a guy they have to pay. And by the way, they've got another need, and the need that they weren't able to fill effectively with the kicking situation, that has negatively affected the New England Patriots because there isn't a bevy of quality kickers available right now to replace Gostkowski. Right now, you've got a need on the offensive side, and there's a guy right there with tremendous talent. You've already got to pay the guy. It's clear that there's a connection and comfort between him and the quarterback. I say, why the hell not? So it is Sports Radio, WEI's Patrick Gilroy, alongside Fitzy, making our way together until 5 o'clock this evening. The number to join us here is 617-779-7937. You text the program at 37937. You find me on Twitter, at Gilroy on Hoops, at Gilroy on Hoops. And Fitzy, you know, you hear that sort of cut by AB, talking about, you know, they got to pay me anyways. And he's out there doing his social media thing. He's never going to learn, by the way. He's one of these guys that is addicted to social media. He's always going to sort of bury himself a little bit because of his inability to stay away.
Right.
But again, I just sort of cross-referenced the kicking situation where you lost a really good kicker. People complained about Gostkowski, but even at his worst, the Patriots didn't have to adjust the way that they approached the game. It's clear right now with Nugent that they don't trust him. So they are changing the way that they play the game offensively to adjust to their quarterback, to their kicker.
Strong disagree, Your Honor, in that
how
the
so?
Other night. Okay, so first of all, I think the Nuge was a good sign. I think he's going to be perfectly serviceable the rest of the season the same way that Shane Graham was in 2010 when Gostkowski went out for half the season. The other night, now, he misses the kick, right? That's not on him. That was 100% not on him. If you saw the replay, laces out Bailey, laces out. So that's not his fault. And it was a windy night. And I don't know if Belichick had the benefit of being able to see on his, you know, Microsoft Surface or his tablet, whatever the hell it was, that was laces in and it's got to be laces out. I don't think that they have a trust issue. And more so when he missed that first extra point in Washington, I thought that was like a delicate hat tip, like a little doff of his cap to Gostkowski, like, this one's for you, Steve. I think Mike Nugent's going to be just fine.
So you don't know. The going forward on fourth down, three times, four times, you didn't think that had anything to do.
The game was not in doubt. The game was not in the balance. That was Belichick, to me, basically taking a chance on a Thursday night with the game not in doubt, really, at any point, even when it was 14-14. Yes, we were all frustrated and just had a little bit of that fan panic going on, but we knew they were still going to win the damn game. Belichick sees mistakes being made. Belichick needs to know if they need to get a yard, if they need to go for it on fourth down, can he run the ball student body right? Is the quarterback sneak going to work? Is the play action, is that little sneaky, is the surprise snap to James White, which surprised nobody in the stadium, certainly on the field, and even watching at home. So some of these little old Patriots parlor tricks, they're not working anymore. So that's the Patriots basically taking advantage of this extended preseason. It's not just that they look at September as an extended preseason, Patrick. They have the benefit of going into freaking November with the way the Browns have been playing and Mono, Captain Mono quarterback in the Jets next week, they don't really face a quality opponent until November.
See, and now it almost sounds like
it's an iron out right
but,
now.
But it almost sounds like you're making kind of excuses for them right now, Fitzy. And you know, aren't you the same guy that tweeted out not once but twice that their offense was broken? So
that's why they're going for it on fourth down.
Was that a so? What's the overreaction? Is the overreaction your tweet not once but twice, or is the overreaction what we're talking about right now? I mean, not for nothing. Were those emotional tweets when you said that the offense was broken?
And or I may have had adult beverages. I mean, and I have made a point of trying to be less overreactionary, of being less emotional, and also being less imbiberated, if you will, when I take to the Twitter box. Because, you know, if it's just as easy as just having like a way to be able to tell 50,000 people how you feel by just going like, hey, come on, cut Sony, phony Michelle, he sucks. I try not to do that as well, but every now and again, I'm still a fan.
Of course.
Even though we're working in sports media, we're fans first, man. And I'll get roped into that as well. But that's something I purposely put it back out there because I believe it. This offense is still very much, I said broken, work in progress isn't sexy enough, and I still believe that there's a lot of work that needs to get done. That's why I'm happier to see when they can take a chance, like against the Giants, in a game that was never in doubt on a Thursday, work it out. This is where you need to figure out what's going to work. You are not a tight end-centric team like you've been. You do not have elite speed on the outside. And now your running game, which you evolved into last year to try to A, win games, and B, prolong Brady, isn't working. They're going to have to figure out what the hell kind of team they are on offense right now, because I couldn't tell you their identity.
Okay, so if the offense is, let's use your word, broken, and the potential fix, the repair, the crazy glue that holds it all together is potentially Antonio Brown, are we not...
Wow, you said crazy glue.
Guys. I like that.
Perfect.
You like that, huh? So if you're going to use this guy potentially to come in here and help fix this offense, is your hesitation the fact that he's a bad guy, the fact that the Patriots don't need another sort of, I don't know, thing hanging over them? You've already got the Robert Kraft situation with the massage parlor. You have Deflategate. You've got Spygate and everything else in between. So is this a hesitation on your part because you're a Patriots fan and you don't want another scandal that you've got to defend?
He's just awful.
No, he's just awesome.
Yeah, he's awesome and awful. also a working title for the show. Look, all right, I'll tell you this. So the other night, I do a lot, like I was telling you before the show, I do a little live talk show in the stadium for fans before the games, and it's usually me talking with former players for the crowd. And the other night we had Rodney Harrison up there, and it was awesome. And he is so forthright and he's so well spoken. And I don't think I'm really talking out of church here when I say this or relay something that was said live in front of fans, because that's who it's for. And somebody asked him in the crowd, like, Rodney, what's the Patriot way all about? And Rodney, you know, because it's been in question all season, right, Patrick?
Yep.
Like, signing him, is that not the Patriot way? Is Discord the new Patriot way? Scandal, controversy. Rodney Harrison points to the banners and says, you see that right out there? See those out there? That's the Patriot way. Winning, being excellent. The culture that Mr. Kraft, Coach Belichick, and Tom have established, that's the Patriot way. And then he pauses dramatically, about the same 5 seconds that Tom took during his famous pause earlier in the week talking about the tight ends, and he goes, I'll tell you what's not the Patriot way. Antonio Brown.
They still got to pay me, so might as well let me earn it.
But didn't Rodney Harrison, when he got here, didn't Rodney Harrison come with a ton of baggage himself? Wasn't he a guy that was disliked around the NFL, considered a dirty player around the NFL?
May not be in the Hall of Fame right now, because there are people in football that thought that he came at him a little too hard and was a little bit of a little dirty.
So if anybody right. Literally in
hell the of a football
thinks
player.
That... He knows the evidence is there that you can change the perception of yourself because you come to New England, you play with Tom Brady, you play for Bill Belichick. Isn't Rodney Harrison the case that you want to cite as the example of what Antonio Brown could morph into if he came here and did the things correctly the way that Rodney Harrison did? I mean, I think that's super hypocritical of Rodney Harrison to say that.
I don't think I would call it super hypocritical, because what Rodney Harrison did was on the field. Now, I'm not sure exactly where we're going to talk about what the code of honor is, like on the field or off the field. Rodney Harrison's always, he played the game a certain way, and the way that he played the game is the way they really, really used to play the game, and it's unfortunate that, you know, certain people couldn't continue to play in the game after they received hits from Rodney Harrison, but he composed himself a different way off the field. And the Patriots, when I think the Patriot way, yes, you can say the Patriot way is the road you take into Gillette. Yes, you can say the Patriot way is winning above everything else at all costs and establishing a trend of on-field excellence. I am just one of those people that still continues to think that the Patriot way is trying to carry yourself a certain way. And the way Antonio Brown, like, come on, man. We looked at the clown show for how many years? And how quick, first of all, for how many years did all of us just laugh at Antonio Brown?
Of course.
And always say that is the last person you would ever want in the Patriots. The infamous Facebook Live after they won in the divisional round before they came up here and got absolutely junk stomped by the Pats on the way to Super Bowl 51. All of the clown showing off the field, the scandals, the idiocy with the Raiders and wanting to fight Mayock, and then
showing up in a damn hot air balloon.
Showing up in a hot air balloon, cryo freezing your feet in France on Hard Knocks. Everything. It was one thing after another. And there's just only so many headaches, metaphorically speaking, that you can handle or tolerate in a season. The only reason why we're still discussing it now in the middle of a Saturday afternoon, the only reason why maybe that they humored Drew Rosenhaus if Dan Cilio and his crazy tweets were correct and they allowed him to come back in and talk about it.
If Dan Cilio is your source, by the way, yeah, chances are your information's not what it should be.
Probably not.
Check your sources.
Right. You may want to check your sources. But the only reason why they would entertain it is because the talent is so otherworldly.
It is. And that's the thing here. The talent is otherworldly.
So are you compromising this Patriot way if you bring him in?
The Patriot way is what Rodney Harrison said first. The Patriot way is a winning way, and you want to take advantage of Tom while he can still be Tom. And right now, Tom still looks like he's capable of being Tom. He's not allowed to be Tom and live up to that full potential because he doesn't have enough weapons that allow him to go and be Tom Brady, the Tom Brady that he believes he still is, the Tom Brady that I believe he still is. Unfortunately, he needs to have legitimate weapons to throw to. And if Rob Gronkowski's not coming out of retirement because Fitzy talked him out of it, see, what people don't realize is that Rob Gronkowski and Fitzy shot a commercial together, and Fitzy told Gronk, I'm happy you're retired. Go take care of yourself. Take care of your body. Go live your life. So Gronk, who was thinking about coming back, had the ultimate Patriots fan telling him not to come back. And now Rob Gronkowski's happy, he's on TV, and he's not coming back to the Patriots, all thanks to Nick Stevens. It is Sports Radio, WEI, it's Patrick Gilroy, it is Nick Stevens, or Fitzy, or just the jerk that told Gronk it's not time to come back and play football. Go enjoy your life, your beautiful girlfriend, enjoy yourself, go be on TV. Tom doesn't need you, fans don't need you. We don't need Gronk here in New England any longer, according to Fitzy. Room for you guys when we come back at 617-779-7937.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Now back to Fitzy and Gilroy on WEEI.
He's got a tough job right now. The offensive line is not very good, and those I don't know who he's throwing to.
We lost another one last night.
They threw to a number 80 yesterday, and I was like, man, I swear to God, Amendola's not on the team anymore. And it wasn't. It was Gunnar Olszewski, I think is his name. Olszewski. I don't know who that is. Jacoby Myers, undrafted free agent, who had a nice preseason. Right now, he's their second best healthy receiver. It's Julian Edelman and replacement-level players all along the skill position. That's got to be a concern for New England as they approach the varsity portion of their schedule.
There's a friend of the program, Nick Wright. You know that you have to take everything Nick says with a grain of salt when it comes to the Patriots, but that was a surprisingly good take there. I mean, he diagnosed the problem with the Patriots offense, and he did it well without throwing any unnecessary digs the Patriots way, the Celtics way, the Red Sox way. I mean, because that's what he's made a career out of. It's Boston hating. And he's a very sensitive young man as well.
It's very easy to hate everyone on top. Lest we forget, Boston fans, what it was like to be Sox fans in the 80s and the 90s, especially the late 90s and the early aughts, and staring up at the evil empire, which, of course, we've kind of turned around and become as well.
Not kind of, by the way, we have.
Oh, indefinitely.
Completely.
Most certainly as a town, as Sox fans, and as the Patriots. And I'll tell you what. You know what's fun? Living in football Rome. I love it. I don't want that dynasty. I like playing empire. I think it's great. I'm loving it. And yes, we suffered, and now they hate us because they ain't us, and we're getting a chance to really appreciate it. And once again, our children, you're raising them here in Patriot Nation, I as well within the confines of 495, they'll know what suffering is like. The Patriots will suck in time as well. It'll probably be a couple of years after Brady and Belichick have long since cleared town and gotten their bus in Canton. They'll know what it's like. But right now, while you've got it, for the love of God, just enjoy it. Don't worry about what you're having at your next meal or how quickly you're eating the pizza. Enjoy the pizza and the cold beer you have in front of you right now.
It's a good lesson for your kids. It's a lesson I try to teach my kids all the time. Instead of enjoying like the new toy, the new gift, the new something that they got, they're always worried about what comes next, what they're going to get next, what they can spend next week's allowance on, what they're going to get next Christmas, their next birthday. No, stop it. Enjoy it. My daughter is 12 going on 26, and she so desperately, she said to me a couple weeks ago, she can't wait to be 21. Not so she can drink, but because she wants to be able to make her own decisions and go do her own thing without having to come to us. And I looked at her, and I'm almost in tears at this point. I said, Caitlin, you have no idea how easy your life is right now. And you're not going to realize how easy it is until you are 21 and you wish that you could be 12 again.
Right.
But that's the human element. We always are looking forward to the next thing rather than enjoying what's in front of us at this very moment. And what's in front of us, by the way, is a 42-year-old Tom Brady who is still just as good, if not better, than 95% of the other quarterbacks in the NFL today.
Caitlin, if you would like, here are Dad's bills. And also, I'd like to show you the new tax code. We can't afford landscapers like everyone else in town, so get comfortable with these gloves and that rake. Love you, honey.
It is Sports Radio, WEEI. Room for you guys, 617-779-7937. Let's go back out to the calls. Let's go to Joe. Joe's in Billerica. Joe, you're next up here on WEEI.
What's going on, guys?
Joey so and the Rick, fire, what's up?
What's going on? Some rapid fire reality. There's obviously, I just feel the Patriot way is simply Tom Brady, right? The Patriots defense is obviously going to lose a little bit of traction. The offense is obviously going to gain a little traction. I feel Antonio Brown won't make it back because, I mean, if he does, he'll probably get off the team probably a little bit quick too. I think he's going to lose him quick. I think he'll do something again. I think Gronk won't make it back, because I think it will take them way too long to get in shape and be somewhat decent. Even though this is what it is, that is my real comment. With Brady making all his comments and being as annoying as he is, he's basically right with a lot of it. Because I'm telling you, right, the team's roster right now as we speak is probably the worst it's probably been in Tom Brady's career, the roster they have right now. And when you think back, to like the last Super Bowl in 2004, the third one, Belichick saw what he had in Brady. He knew, he basically, especially 2006, he knew what Brady was or what he was going to be, and he had a chance to really try to draft a couple receivers, at least a few maybe second or third round in those years to maybe grow with Brady maybe here or there, because Brady, I don't think Brady's had a true wideout, like, not a slot receiver like Armin, but a true number one wideout for more than 2 years in a row, which is amazing to me. I mean, he's had, with all the touchdown passes he made to all those different receivers, it averages out to about four receivers per year for his whole entire career, all 18 seasons, which is astronomical. Like, I think Brady has had enough with, I think Brady has realized,
he's had 73 different guys that he's thrown touchdown passes to over his career. And thank you for the call, Joe. And yes, it has been weird that there hasn't been someone who's been able to ride tandem with him for longer than a handful of years, unless it's been, like you said, a slot receiver. Welker went 7-12. Edelman's basically been, even though he's been on the team longer, he's been, you know, in full Edelmania mode from 13 to current day.
And you got Gronk, who's been a tight end, and but a receiving tight end.
Well, yeah, he was a receiving tight end, but he was an elite receiver for a long time. As a matter of fact, his tenure may be the longest. You did have Troy Brown from 01 to 06 while he was still high quality. I mean, Troy Brown in 01, 2, and 3 was an elite-level receiver.
Sure.
And then you had, and then in 3, 4, 5, you had David Givens and Deion Branch. We know Deion Branch was one of his favorites, and Brady was pissed in 2006 when Belichick didn't pay him and sent him off in the middle of the night to Seattle. So, no, he hasn't been given those consistent targets as well. But this is not the worst roster that you've seen in the Belichick-Brady era. This, in by no stretch of the imagination. You can go back and look at some of those teams. The 2005, 2006, 2009. You still had, yes, you had Welker and you had Randy Moss, but you didn't have much else. And obviously they had a defense that got embarrassed in the wild card round at home against the Ravens.
But hold on, you had Welker and Randy Moss and a massive drop-off after that. But right now, I mean, wouldn't you rather have Welker and Randy Moss and the drop-off that you've got right now? I mean, right now, that's a better option than what you have right now.
Offensively speaking, this isn't one of the top five rosters they've had. I think it's pretty easy to say. But the attrition on the team as well, I mean, they're injured reserve. Patrick, you're basically like two IRs away from being able to field a starting team.
But think about that, and I get that, I really do, but think about the frustration that Brady must be feeling, because we sat here the last 2 hours talking about Gronk, talking about AB, both guys, chances are they're not coming back to play this year, and if they do, they're not going to be the guys that we need them to be or the Patriots need them to be. But the Patriots have found themselves in a position, for whatever the reason is, where you got to hope that Antonio Brown, a psychologically broken person, you know, a broken human being, just a weird guy that's got significant psychological issues. They found themselves in a situation where they're sort of dependent on a guy like that, yeah, and hoping that a guy comes out of retirement to come in and aid this team. That speaks more to their inability or unwillingness to surround Tom Brady with the right type of talent in the offseason offensively than it does anything else here.
They tried a couple other guys on for size. I know they expected more out of the rookies as well. It's a lot to expect rookies to come in when you have this talent level. When I say this talent level, I mean Tom Brady as well.
Yep.
Yes, I get it. And Benjamin Watson probably would have been on the team if he didn't get that weird PED suspension. I got it. And now, in the middle of the season, or at least, you know, as Nick Wright put it, a couple games before the varsity portion of their schedule, we're talking about needing to take back the guy that the people on the call line have called a very, very bad dude.
He's a bad dude. So 2 hours down, 1 hour to go. It's Gilroy, it's Fitzy. When we come back, I see the calls here. We'll get to more of your Patriot phone calls. Start to work in some of the Celtic stuff, some NBA stuff, NBA China, and the whole thing that's exploded there, as well as some early sort of thoughts here. As the Celtics, they're two games into their preseason schedule. What does it mean? Does it mean anything? Gordon Hayward showing some signs of athleticism that we haven't seen since he wore a Utah Jazz jersey. We'll get to all that and your phone calls when we come back right here on Sports Radio WEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.